All right. I want you to sit up straight right now, get your Bibles out, and let's get ready for some preaching in just a moment here. I'm going to ask you not to get up and walk out. I'll not be that long, and in just a few minutes we'll head outside for lunch. And rain's holding off so far, and if it does rain during the lunchtime, we'll give you some instructions on some buildings to go into. But I do appreciate you coming. Youth pastors and youth workers, thank you for bringing the young people. Most of the youth workers are over in Building P, but for those that are in here, I do thank you for being a part of this. I do thank you, young people, for being here, because likewise, it takes a lot of work and effort on your part to come. But why did you come? And many of you, it was because you were talked into it. Many of you, it was because you've heard of the conference, you've wanted to come. Doesn't really matter to me exactly why you came, because why you're here is very important. For 43, 44 years, I forget how many years we've held this conference, but it has been appointed conference to help young people and challenge them to do what Brother Torres preached about a few moments ago, to give your life to the Lord. Now, when everyone's sitting up straight, I don't want you slouching down. I don't want you leaning forward. I want you, your eyeballs right on me. I don't want you to get up and walk out. We had a lot of fun. We'll have a lot more fun. But for the next just 20, 25 minutes, we're going to be a bit serious. And I want you to look and listen carefully. And those of you way up here at the top of the balcony on my left and way up here, and those of you way up here on my right, you may feel like, girls, hey, look at me. You feel like you're in darkness, but we can see you. And I need you to listen. I need you to listen carefully tonight. I want you to pay attention to the scripture. I want you to take your Bibles, turn to the book of Jonah, if you would, please. Jonah, chapter 1, if you would. And just follow along with me for a few verses, and I'll just set the stage for the story and the message. Now, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." Now, it doesn't mean that they were the only city in the world that was sinful, but it happened to be a concentration of sin that God noticed. It was exceedingly sinful. Look at me. Listen, kids. You can sin, and you know, God's got a great God of mercy. But when you taunt God and you flaunt your sin, you're going to get God's attention. You're going to get His attention. And if I may, our country, I think, is getting God's attention tonight. When our White House displays its colors in the colors of a homosexual agenda, I got to believe with all my heart, God didn't think that was pretty. I'll be honest with you, when I saw that, you know, people say, were you angered? No, I was scared out of my mind. That challenged my heart. It made me nervous. The hair on the back of my neck stood up. That's as if this country took his fist and raised it to God and says, you know what? We don't care. You're not that big. I'm going to tell you something, young people. I don't care what you believe. I don't care what you don't believe. But you better understand something. When there's a concentration of sin, it will come up before God. Now look again in verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee. I'm sorry. Verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And the mariners were sore afraid, and cried every man to his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship, and the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down to the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." And they said, every one to his fellow, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and that lot fell on Jonah. And they said unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what purpose art thou?" And he said unto them, "I am an Hebrew, And I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. And he said unto and they said unto him, What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. Here you have the story of Jonah going and fleeing from the Lord. He didn't want to go to the city to preach. He thought Nineveh was, and it was, a great distance away. But it was of a Gentile people that he didn't care enough about. I mean, truthfully, Jonah's racism was just incredibly evident here. He felt that Christianity should be for the Jews alone, not for those in other countries, not for those in other lands, not for those in other cities. And we look at the life of Jonah, and Jonah is one of my least favorite characters in the Bible because of his spirit and his attitude. And I know God used him in a great way, and I know I'll see him in heaven one day. And you know what? Maybe we'll get along. I don't know. But the truth is, he was not my cup of tea. His spirit was not my cup of tea. I wasn't raised like that. Man, when there's a storm going on in our house, everybody helped bail. When there was a problem, when there was an issue, when there were things that were going on, everybody pitched in and helped. Jonah went down into the side of that ship and he slept. Now you say, well, you know what? How can you sleep during a storm? You know what? Some of you can sleep during the hardest preaching in the world. No doubt in my mind, I've met some teenagers that can no doubt sleep in the belly of a ship during a heavy storm. But Jonah did. He went down and slept. And here these men came to him and they begged him and said, Jonah, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, because they believed in a multiplicity of gods. They had all kinds of gods and they didn't know who the true God was. And they had been calling on their God and their God wasn't answering. Isn't it amazing how that in a time of struggle and trial that even the world knows it's a God problem? You look at me, guys. They know. You look at when our towers were bombed a few years ago. Everybody, the unsaved, every bar had on it. Hey, God help us. Pray for us. Hey, pray for America. God bless America. These mariners, they could have called themselves atheists. They could have called themselves whatever. But when it came time for the ship to break up, they wanted God. And the only person, this is why I don't care for Jonah, the only person that knew the true and living God was asleep. He was asleep. He knew what was wrong. He knew what was going on. He knew why that storm was there. And he decided to sleep through it as if it would all go away and God would forget about him. And the people of Nineveh, you know what? They'll fare on their own. If they die and go to hell, what is that to me? Isn't that awful? Isn't that awful? It's sad to me that the heathen had to beg a Christian to get right so they could get saved. Young people, you listen to me, listen carefully. It's a shame that Christians are waiting, you know what, for the world to come to us. Come to us. You know what? You know, I'll just live the Christian life, and you, if you want to find out about Christ, you come see me. We live that lifestyle type of evangelism, or we live a lifestyle where we're saved and we're fine so much for everybody else. We find great arrogance, and it's time Christians woke up. There are storms out there. This country, if you just don't get it, this country is breaking up. There are churches all over this country that need a revival in their hearts and minds of standards and convictions and a holiness to God, as Brother Torres preached. And our young people today are driving our churches, if I may, driving our churches by you getting your way, you talking your parents into dressing the way that you want to dress, living how you want to live. You are dictating. I believe with all my heart, if we had some young people in this room today, wake up and arise out of your sleep, we could make some serious changes in this country. It was the teenagers back in the late 60s and early 70s that changed this country and turned it around and threw away its morals and threw away its standards and brought in the free love, brought in the rock and roll, brought in the heathenism, brought in the wicked TV. It was the teenagers that did that. The adults didn't say, hey, we need to do something new for our kids. Let's throw away all of our standards. Let's give them free sex. Let's give them drugs, alcohol, and rock and roll. Let's give them all that. This will make us a great nation one day. No, it was the kids that brought it up. It was the Beatles. It was the groups back then that you don't even know who they are. They came up in the day and preachers like Jack Hiles would thunder against it. And the young people, many of them didn't listen all across this country, and they rioted, and they held their principals of their public schools hostage, and they changed the rules, and they changed the standards, and they changed the lifestyle into a lifestyle that brought in and ushered in wickedness, abominations, idol worship, to where our churches have followed suit. He read from Romans how that they worship the creature more than the creator. They worship the animals, and they worship the idols and the statues and so forth. And they knew who God was, but they started worshiping others. You look at me, it's easier to get a crowd if we were to hold a Super Bowl party on a Sunday night and watch it, and we'd have a bigger crowd than we would have on a Sunday morning. Ironically, our sports teams are named after animals and named after creatures. And I'm not against sports, but I'm going to tell you something. We have, like Brother Torres said, made a whole lot more gods out there than we need. But when it comes down to that baby of yours one day being sick in the hospital, you're not going to pray to the Chicago Bears. And when it comes down to where your wife is laying there with cancer and you need something, you're not going to pray to the Redskins. You're going to call a preacher and say, preacher, I know I've not been in church, but my wife is deathly ill. Can you pray for her? You'll find a God somewhere. Young people, it's time that we wake up. It's time, O sleeper, we arise, and your church needs you. Your church needs you. Young people, listen to me carefully. Your church needs you. Young men, your church needs you to go soul winning. Your church needs you to bring people to Sunday school and sit with them and disciple them. Your church needs you to sit there on Sunday morning and sing and sit up front and participate and love the pastor and love the preacher and love the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Your church needs you. You say, well, there's only a couple of us in our church. Your church needs you even more. We need our young people to start building bus routes. And you could do that, kids. It was five young people in this church right here that started teenage soul winning over 40 years ago. And we've been winning souls every year. It was teenagers that started that. One of the first bus routes were teenagers that started that. You listen to me. You listen to me carefully, teenagers. If you would wake up and stop looking after your own lifestyle and start looking at the things of God and realizing that the country that you're going to live in one day needs you, you can help your church. Your church needs you. It needs you to sing in their choir. It needs you to sing in the youth group. It needs to obey your youth pastor. It needs you to have a heart for God. It needs you to bring some spirituality. Hey, young men. Hey, your church, youth group needs you to be spiritual. I love the girls being spiritual. I love the girls walking with God and living for the Lord. But we need young men that are spiritual as well. Arise. Wake up. Your church needs you. Churches all across this country are dying for young people to have a heart for God. So much that your pastor, youth pastor, would bring you across country here, help pay your way. You bus kids over here, we would spend thousands and tens of thousands of dollars and hundreds of thousands of dollars to bring you to church. Why? Because your church needs you.
We need you to pray for it. We need you to serve in it. We need you to be deacons in it one day. We need you to pastor it. There are churches all over America today that will need pastors one day. Churches need you, kids. You're important to them. Rise, O sleeper. Your church needs you. Rise, O sleeper. Your country needs you. Your country needs you. Last night, in an awards ceremony in California honoring athletes. Look at me, kids. Girls back here, look at me. Honoring athletes that have done outstanding feats, things of great courage, overcome obstacles. With a great to-do, they honored Bruce Jenner. And he came out as Caitlyn Jenner. And everybody is just going gaga over his great stand, his coming out, his courageous act. And I'll be honest with you, listen to me carefully, I love every single person in this world. I love every sinner, and I love every sinful person. But when we start flaunting sin, especially the kind of sin that is abominable to God, God is going to judge us. God is going to judge us. You say, well, what's the difference? An abomination is, you know what? I don't like lima beans. Okay? I just don't care for them. Could I eat them if I had to? Yes. If they were the last food on earth, I can eat them. But you know what? If I picked up a piece of dog dew and stuck it in my mouth, that would be abominable to me. I would start gagging. I would start throwing up. My eyes would start watering because my body detests that. That's what an abomination is. And when God says that kind of sin, homosexuality, is abominable to me, and we want to say, well, it's fine. And when our Supreme Court passed it, I was appalled. I was absolutely stunned at the Christians all over Facebook defending it, saying we ought to be tolerant, we ought to be more graceful. And I'm all for grace. But when the world defies God and puts their fist in his face, starts glorifying something he says is an abomination. Kids, listen to me. Your country needs you. We need some young men to thunder out like Brother Sammy did the other night. We need some young men to stand up in your areas and go soul winning and stand for God like Brother Torres preached about a few minutes ago. We need young people that are willing to take a tract and hand it to somebody and say, hey, listen, would you read this? I'd like to tell you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. This country needs young men to stand up all over it and preach God, the gospel. You listen to me, we're not building churches like we used to. You know, back in the middle 80s, our Bible colleges were exploding. Everybody was building new dorms. Hiles Anderson, all of them. Bob Jones University. All of them were just exploding back in the 80s. Do you realize the world population has more than a billion more people in it today, and we have less students in Bible colleges today than we had in the middle 80s? There are 30,000 independent Baptist churches in this country, kids. Hey, look at me back here. There are 30,000 independent Baptist churches. If every one of them sent one young person to Bible college every year, every one of our Bible colleges would have to build new dormitories tomorrow. But we sleep. Let somebody else do it. Let somebody else get it. Let them call upon their gods. Well, you know their gods don't work. You know your God does. But you sit there so apathetic, so lazy, so just disconcerned with anything else going around you. You know what? God's going to do what God's going to do. If God destroys the world, I'm going to tell you something. It will change one day when your kid looks at you and says, you know what? I don't believe that garbage. When your child, your grandchildren says, hey, you know what? I believe in a multiplicity of gods. When your son wants to marry another boy, you're going to say, hey, where did I go wrong? Because you're sleeping, you will not surrender. You will not give your heart and your life to the Lord. we can say, hey, I need 10 kids from the yellow team to come up here right now. And, you know, we're going to have you doing something disgusting. Man, you run up here like crazy. You bust heads to get up here. But I'll say, who will surrender to the Lord? And you'll think, well, I don't want to do that. You give them points for that? Do I get ice cream? Man, we can get kids to do crazy things and stupid things and to make a fool of ourselves. But when it comes time to standing for the God, we can't bend your arm to make you do it. Rise, sleeper. Your country needs you. Your country is dying without you. We sing God Bless America. And we sing our national anthems while we serve ourselves. We know the ship is breaking up, but we won't surrender to full-time service to do anything about it. We'd rather grow up and live in this world like kings instead of living for the kingdom one day. Brother Torres said, we want to live in the nice houses and we want the big occupations, but we won't give one year of our adult life to God so that God can have our hearts and have our minds and place us in this life where he sees fit. I am so sick. You look at me, boys. I am so sick of Christian young people blowing off the call of God. I can't see straight. Where I watch kids, I was driving a group of young ladies soul winning in our youth group several years ago, and they were seniors, and they were talking about, boy, I'm going to go to this college, and I'm going to go to that college, and I'm going to beauty school, and I'm going this and that, and all that garbage. And boy, it just started right here, and it was just turning color right there. All of them, one of them looked at me and said, Brother, you're getting upset, aren't you? I said, I'm not getting upset. I said, I am upset. They said, well, what's the matter? Don't you think what we're doing is right? I said, I don't care what you're doing. I said, what I see is for 12, 13 years, parents have paid great money to send you to a Christian school so you could have an opportunity to serve God with your life. And the first day out of Christian school, you already are deciding to serve yourself. No thoughts of what God wants. Not one of you cotton pickers have said, boy, I've been praying all night. I've been fasting. I've been begging God to show me what to do with my life. Well, brother, you just want everybody to go to Howells Anderson College. Look at me. I would settle for all of us to go to any Bible college today. We're just asleep on the job. We want what we want. We don't want what God wants. I can tell by the way you're looking at me right now, you don't want what God wants. Your mind is so distant, you put me off already because you know what? You've heard this song and dance before, and you don't care. You're asleep in the belly of the ship. And outside, it's breaking up all around you. And the mariner's afraid. The world doesn't know what's going on. The people around you, they don't know. The politics, politicians, they don't know what's going on. You do. You do. But you sleep. God is going to judge you. God is going to judge you. Your country needs you. Rise, O sleeper. Your church needs you. Your country needs you. And your world needs you. Americans are racist. I don't care how you look at it. We are the least among nations in sending out missionaries. You look at me. Hey, boys, I'm going to come back and preach right to you. We are 15th to 20th in nations sending out missionaries. When we have more money than any of them, all of them put together, we have greater opportunities, better training facilities, but you know what? We don't care about the Ninevites. We don't care about the folks in Ghana. We don't care about the folks in the Philippines. You know what? Let them fend for themselves. And even Jonah, after he got spit up on dry ground and he ran to Nineveh and he preached, you know what? He was sad because they got right with God. And we sit here today condemning Jonah, but yet you won't wake up. You won't go to Bible college. You won't surrender your life to preach the gospel or to go as a missionary. Took a group of kids down to Monterrey, Mexico, and Brother Tommy Ashcraft preached to our kids, and he made the statement. He said, if you kids are not surrendered to be a missionary, you're not right with God. I thought, wow, that's pretty harsh. I'm not surrendered to be a missionary. God didn't call me to do that. And then he said, you know what? It may not be that God will call you to be missionary because you may not be good enough. I said, wow, a double hit. Now I'm not good enough to be a missionary. He said, you know what? Truth is, God may not call you, but you ought to at least be surrendered and be willing to go. I can't even find young people that will surrender saying, God, use me anywhere. If you choose the Philippines, fine. If you choose Mexico, fine. If you choose Hammond, fine. If you choose Lowell, Indiana, fine. If you choose Cincinnati, fine. If you choose Washington, D.C., fine. I can't find young people that want to come out of their bedroom and wake up and serve God. You won't even go to Bible college. But yet you're appalled at what happened in D.C. You're appalled at the laws that they're making. You're appalled at the Caitlyn Bruce Jenners. You're appalled at the things going on. But you won't wake up and do anything about it. You deserve what you get. You deserve what you get. If I were God, I would say, you know what? I'm going to have your kids marry perverts. I'm going to have your kids die and go to hell. The Bible's clearly states that God is not pleased. He's not pleased in Ezekiel. He's not pleased that the wicked die. He is not pleased with that. Because Jesus Christ said he was not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And young people, what we see here today in such great apathy, we don't want to give our hearts and minds to God. But God hasn't called me. He still needs you. You ought to surrender to it. How many of you play basketball? Raise your hand. Put it down. How many of you are not on the starting five? Raise your hand. Come on, be honest. Then why do you go out? Because you hope to get in. Hey, why do you go out? If you're not on the starting five, why do you bother? Why do you go to all the practices? Why do you run the drills? Look at me, guys. I'll come right down to your row. Look at me. Why do you practice? Why do you go on in condition? Why do you lift weights? You're not on the starting five, but you hope to God to get in a game. You would be happy just to play 1 minute. You would be happy to play just a few seconds in any game. And you know what? We can't get you to surrender to God. God just didn't call me to be a missionary. God didn't call me to be a youth pastor. God didn't call me to go to Bible college. You ought to hope that God calls you. You ought to hope that you get picked. You ought to pray. Look at me now. You ought to pray every single day that, God, would you use me? I don't care where. God, please use me. God, I don't care where you put me. You could put me in a church. You could put me as a layman. You could put me in a ministry. I don't care. God, please, I beg you, use me. Where's that kind of passion today? Jonah laying in the bottom of that ship, the mariners wake up and say, rise, O sleeper, call upon your God, please. We're dying up here. We've thrown over all of the riches, the things that we love the most are thrown over, and we can't get our gods to wake up. But do you know your God? Yeah, I do. I do. Gideon makes the first right move he made in a long time. He says, throw me over. I need to give myself to God. Throw me in. They said, what? Yeah, I'm the reason. I can help you. I can change this. Well, how can you change it? Are you a God? No. But I'm going to surrender to him right now. And he gets thrown over and spends 3 days in contemplation. And God working him over. And God putting him through literal hell on earth, as he called it. And then God used him to preach a great revival. I don't know how one young man can change this country. I don't know. Be honest with you, I can't see it happening. But I'm not God either. And maybe God doesn't want this world changed, but he may want your town changed. And God may not, this country may never see righteousness flourish again, but maybe a church in your community can. Maybe there's a public school that can have a bit of a revival because of you. Maybe there's a youth group that can experience an acceleration of the love of God because of you. Maybe there's a country out there that can have a church plant there because of you. If you just wake up. If you just wake up. I don't know what God has for you in your life. But we have a lot of folks out there that have fled to Tarshish. And here's your that's where you want to go. You're asleep in the bottom of the boat today. You're willing that all should perish, that none should come to repentance. Oh, you'd like for the world to get right, but you're not going to do anything about it. Many years ago, now this is an old statistic, so I can't believe it's any better today. 9,780 teenagers, Christian young people, were polled. They were asked this question, do you desire to be sold out, in parentheses, know God's will and do it? Only 59 teenagers said yes. Only 59 said yes. I can't believe it's any better today. I got to believe that percentage is much lower today. Would you say yes today? Would you be willing to be a John Wilkerson who will surrender your life to the Lord? So, well, I don't know if I'm supposed to preach. I don't care. Just surrender your life to the Lord. You let God decide what you're supposed to be. Well, I don't know if I could be a missionary. Look, at all you need to do is surrender and let God take care of the rest. Some of you ought to burn your plans of what you're going to college, and you ought to consider Bible college. And you ought to talk to your pastor and your parents and say, look, at where do you think I ought to go? I want God to use me. And look, at God may put you back in the secular field, but wouldn't it be awesome for you to be back in the secular field as a godly doctor, a godly electrician, a godly plumber, and serving God while you're doing that, supporting a ministry, supporting the church? God may put some of you, teacher in a Christian school or in the pulpit somewhere, but let God decide that. You got to wake up. You got to wake up. Let me ask you to sit up straight right now, backs against your chairs. Ephesians 5:8-9 says, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, proving what is acceptable unto God. Proving it. I need some young people today that are willing to walk in the light. You're willing to get out of the bottom of the boat and step up and say, throw me over, Lord. When Jonah was thrown over, he had no more will. He was being tossed by the waves, however God wanted him. Total humility, total sacrifice. I'm not asking rows of kids to stand up right now, but I'm asking for that one in the row to stand up, who'll come out of the bottom of that boat and say, it's me. I need to serve the Lord. Would you stand up? Would you stand up right now? Thank you, young lady. I don't need everybody. I don't need everybody. If you're the only one standing, would you still stand? Who else? Don't stand up because somebody next to you stood. God sees that. Don't stand up because somebody else is. I'll wake up. How many would say, Brother Lapina, I don't know what God has for me, but I'll surrender my life to Him. If He chooses to use me, as Pastor Wilkerson always says, I'll be garbage at His disposal. I'll be used however He sees fit. I'm going to ask the guys to come up. Would you sing, I Can Pray? Brother Dave, use the guys again real fast. While they sing this song, I want you to find a place. If you can come forward, if you can't get forward in the balcony, just find a place at your seat. And I want you to surrender your life to the Lord tonight. The young people, if over half of you do what you're doing tonight and follow through with it, this country will see a change. He will see a change. Arise, O sleeper. Call upon your God. Your church needs you. Your country needs you. Your world needs you. There are some missionaries looking at me right now. You just need to surrender. There are some young people in a foreign country that will one day get saved because you will surrender right now. Guys will sing. You come. Come on. Come on. Don't come because somebody else is coming by you. This is your decision, not theirs.
You say I'm not able.
Come on.
I'm too young or I'm too old. And I can't sing or teach. And no title do I hold, Lord, what can I do? For I want to do my part. And I want to help the hurting with all of my heart. I can pray until the walls come down, until there's healing all around. That's something I can do. I can pray in my secret place. Calling on your name, that's something I can do. I can pray. My family shows no interest, and my child has gone so far. Though I've tried my best to reach them, their hearts just seem so hard. Lord, what can I do to help bring them back to you? For my family's lost and dying, and my words cannot get through. I can pray until the walls come down, until there's healing all around. That's something I can do. I can pray in my secret place, calling on your name. That's something I can do. I can pray until the walls come down, until there's healing all around. That's something I can do. You can pray in your secret place, calling on His name. That's something you can do. You can
closed, continue playing. No Caleb down here. I said, Brother Eddie, God's called me to be a missionary, and I've been fighting it, and I want to surrender to be a missionary tonight. That's what it'll take. If nothing else, we need some godly, holy young people that'll pray for our country. And God may never bring it, allow it to come to a state of righteousness like we would like. But maybe He can prolong it so we can win more people to Christ if our young people would pray. We live a holy life and we stay surrendered. Maybe some of you ought to get together in your youth groups right now. Pray for your youth group. Pray for those in your church that are struggling. You can do it. It's only God that can heal us. It's only God that can change our president's heart. Say, are you mad at our president? No. I'm mad at me. I'm mad at Christians. We're really falling asleep on the job. We don't go to prayer meetings. We don't pray. We don't live clean. We don't live pure. It's our fault. Evil triumphs when good men do nothing. And we've done nothing. We can't even give God a year of our life. Sing the chorus, guys. Sing it with us. I can praise. Yeah, young people, sing it.
I can pray until the walls come down, until there's healing all around. That's something I can do.
You pray, God will have your heart. You pray, God will get your life. But you don't pray. You sleep. You sleep while the unsaved are praying to gods that cannot hear.
I can pray.
Sing it again.
I can
sing it, kids. Sing it. Sing it like you mean it.
Until the walls come down, until there's healing all
sing it,
around, that's something I can do. I can pray in my secret place, calling on your name. That's something
and your eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're going back to your seats, you can be seated. God's still working on hearts. I'm not going to stop right now. You may need to find somebody in your youth group and pray with them. Pray for a heart for God. Pray for softness and spirit.